I was looking for a sport when I entered UT. So, of course, I went to the kick-in, and that was a horrible idea because there were just too many sports to choose from. People will tell you they really want to buy this device if you just tell them that, like, you're planning to make it, you know, and it's gonna be amazing and all that. But judging how far away those statements are from the reality of, all right, here's the device, will you give me 50 euros for it, is really difficult. I really want to be at this uni because of the things it provides. But to find those, you really need to look around. You need to talk to people because they usually know quite a lot about what's happening at the uni.
Hello everyone, my name is Timur and this is UT Journeys, an amazing new series where we sit with inspiring students to talk about their lives, motivation, and most importantly, how you can enhance your study journey. Today we're talking with Šimon Horáček, who is a second year advanced technology student from Czech Republic, an active member of Break Even Dance Association, and a co-founder of a startup that's making smart mouth guards. So let's meet him. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Timur.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well today. How about you?
Yeah, me too. Actually, very fine. Let's start with the first question. What do you study at UT?
So, yeah, I study the program Advanced Technology, and it is kind of a choose your own adventure in terms of bachelor's degrees that regard to engineering. Yeah, this study, during the first year, you get a lot of physics and math, and you do a lot of very hands-on projects. So you build a glider, you build an accelerometer from scratch, and other things like that. There is also a research project, which no one really likes, but everyone has to do, as the case is usually with the more theoretical projects. Right now, I'm doing electrodynamics. I had to reduce my study load in this module a little bit. I basically went from 15 ECs to 9, which the 9 ECs is just a single subject. Ended with a single oral exam. So that's going to be the most intense hour of my life, probably. Maybe except for this podcast, I don't know. And next module is business, which is going to be funny because I'll be trying to create a startup at that point for a year already. Since I reduced my study load this module, I realized how overworked I was for the past maybe 3 or 4 modules, where like in the fourth module I passed with all my grades except two including project, being between 5.5 and a 6, which is great for efficiency because that is the most efficient way to get a diploma, but also stressing after every exam on whether I passed it or not is not that great, I realized. So from that came a lot of self-reflection, and it took me quite a bit of time to implement it afterwards. So yeah, as you can see, like basically 3 modules to realize, maybe I am doing too many things on the side next to my studies that don't allow me to be able to completely focus on that. Because at some point you just stop losing focus on everything you're doing. And that's what I really experienced for the past maybe half a year.
Yeah, and here we should also mention how we tried to find a date to record with you.
Yeah.
Because I texted Simon in end of February, and Simon replied to me that he's available in the end of March.
Yeah, it was... You see a lot of memes like this, but suddenly this became a reality for me. And it is, like, my workload has definitely decreased since I decreased the study load this module, which was a huge thing. That's why I keep repeating it as well. But, yeah, I literally looked at my calendar and I was like, scrolling, you know, just pressing the keyboard shortcuts on my Google Calendar, looking, looking, literally nothing free. Like, I'm also a member of Break Even, so this weekend we had a huge dance show with all the dance associations on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, like, okay, I'm going to be preparing more, like, even outside classes. I have, like, usually 7 hours of classes a week, plus maybe one or two hours on Fridays of our open practice. And then I knew it was going to be probably, like, 5 more hours a week of preparation just to get everything really nailed in. So it helped me a lot to get some more free time for that and actually free up space, because otherwise, yeah, scheduling things outside of everything that I was doing suddenly became like a 2-month adventure, so to speak. And looking at my calendar, like, it was overfilled for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually one of the things that spurred me on to do this was that I booked a meeting with a student psychologist here at the UT. And
there is one?
There is one. You can book a student psychologist for free. It takes quite a few weeks, maybe like 6 weeks to get an appointment with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, it's difficult because when you need help immediately, it's not the best option to have to wait 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it is still really nice to have this option.
And is it like a one-time thing, or you can go as many times as you want? How does it work?
So you book yourself for an intake meeting. So at that meeting, you basically provide them with some basic details. And for me, this meeting was enough. Otherwise, I think you can get, they write like up to 6 sessions, maybe something like that. It is not a one-time thing. I'm not sure if it's unlimited. If you can, for example, start a new file after those 6 sessions, I would assume so. But I'm not sure. They can also, probably they will try to at that point refer you to some more normal ways of figuring out problems. So they can refer you to your GP, who can then, for example, get you in touch with a psychiatrist if you have some specific things that you would want diagnosed or prescribed some medication. So they probably like push you off to someone else when they figure out who can actually help you. So for me, it was enough to have that intake meeting where I was like, why do I not want to reduce my study load that much? Because I had been thinking about it for all those 4 modules, let's say. And suddenly I realized that I was putting a lot of value in finishing the study on time in those 3 years, you know. It's the standard, you should keep to it. And after that I was like, okay, maybe that's not worth it. maybe keeping to a standard, which is not really arbitrary, but put in place kind of, because it is theoretically possible to do that. it's not great keeping to that if it really messes up your mental health in the process and really stresses you out on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, those are wise words, I think.
Yeah. And then better time management came along pretty easily after reducing the study load, because suddenly, like, if we were to plan a podcast now, it could probably be tomorrow, you know?
What do you think is the usual occupation for graduates of advanced technology?
Yeah. We, of course, you know, as any other study association, have lunch lectures from alumni of our study program. And that is probably the thing that gave me the best idea of who I can become after this study. A lot of people go into robotics, as I've said, and then you can go into many companies. So people go into Thales and ASML, of course. But before that, most people go for a master's degree, since you are much more useful in a company or to a company with a specialization. And that is something that you are missing compared to other studies at IT. So most people go into the robotics masters. And from that point on, it is kind of easier to imagine what kind of things you can do with that. Some people go into electrical engineering. So robotics could be considered a part of that, but there is more of a mechanical side to it as well. Whereas electronics, some people go right into semiconductors, where ASML, obvious choice after that in terms of actually working a job. And some people go into more theoretical physics or applied physics, let's say, because it would be difficult to transition straight from semi-engineering study to a theoretical one, and then probably continue in academia. So that would be the path that I'm currently most likely to go on as well.
You mentioned Breakeven and their event. Can you tell us a little bit more what you're doing there?
Yeah. I guess I can either tell you what I'm doing right now and go into more detail with that, or tell you the whole journey of how it started and where it's going now. Up to you what you prefer.
Is the journey long?
It can be long, it can be pretty short. All right, I'll give you the TLDR of the story, and then...
Imagine you're a ChatGPT and I'm asking you to summarize.
Okay, yeah, perfect. That's really easy for me to imagine, you know. I'm not an AI, but I hope I'm intelligent enough to do that. So, I was looking for a sport when I entered UT. So, of course, I went to the kick-in, and that was a horrible idea because there were just too many sports to choose from. But based on vibes, I chose Linea Recta and Breakeven. I went to the open lessons for both of them and chose Breakeven based on the vibes. Once again, they just won out completely. Since then, I've been engaging with the association quite a bit. I think their board is usually pretty open to talking to members about how the association works, and that helped me a lot in joining some committees, joining more and more classes, basically hanging out with the members more and more, joining some activities. And last year, my main thing was the PR committee, where I helped with merch mainly. So we released a merch drop at the end of last year. It was a horrible thing to organize. At some point, I like just came into the committee maybe like a month before that, and I had to start organizing meetings because like no one was doing anything. It sounded like everything is on fire and you need to release merch because the holidays are coming. And it is not easy to distribute merchandise to students during holidays, especially at an international university. And so from that point on, we came into this academic year, and I'm now chairing a committee related to dance events outside of the association itself. So like I wasn't included in the organization of the dance event that we had just now. It's more like this weekend, for example, we're going to an event in Amsterdam. It's basically whoever wants to come with us, like join. We will not pay for anything, but we will tell you which train to get on. So that's pretty nice. And so I'm organizing those along with workshops, which there have been exactly zero of this year so far. Some might say that is my responsibility, and I would have to agree, which is unfortunate. Going into next year, I'm planning to join the board of Breakeven. So that came along with the decision of doing a little bit less in my third year. And we'll see how that goes. There are currently a lot of really exciting ideas for how to improve the association next year and what to do with all of the people that wanted to join previously but weren't able to because we were capped at 100 members. And what to do with the extra members in terms of, after basically this semester that cap has been lifted, and it's going to be really interesting to see how that affects the association going forward. Because of course, classes will be more full, but at the same time, it is basically the currency with which cultural associations are negotiating in terms of, okay, we have this many members, so we should get this many hours for our teachers and for rooms. So that's going to be quite a task to try to increase the shares of that association next year to match the inflow of new members.
Cool. And for how many years the association was already operating?
I'm bad at trivia. Not quite sure. But I think it's going to be approaching 10 years by now.
Yeah.
Nice. At the start, it was just breakdance. And some time ago that they included hip hop in that. And afterwards, the balance has completely flipped. Where after COVID, there were maybe like 5 people in breakdance classes and maybe like 40 in hip hop classes. Right now, that has balanced out again. But it is still the case that hip hop is much more approachable for beginner students, because like dancing is much more understandable when you're standing on your feet than when you're on your hands trying to dance. I think that makes it quite scary for newcomers, but it's really fun. I would highly recommend you try it.
And how people can join Breakeven?
Probably the best way to do that is to first go to an open lesson. It doesn't have to be a specific open lesson. You can just text the board@breakeven.nl, I think. And you can text them like, yo, I have time this Monday or this Wednesday in the evening. Could I come for a class? They will say yes. And provide you with all the details. You can go to 2 classes per semester for free without joining the association. And afterwards, it's a process that like will be explained to you. That we have a website where you'll sign up. So like if you want to really skip the open classes thing and just come to classes as an actual member, feel free to sign up. If you Google for Breakeven, Breakeven U20, it's the easiest way to find it. And yeah, we love new people coming in and trying it out. I think we're a vibe, so come and try it. If you're even interested in dancing, don't think that you need to be good at dancing to start to become a member.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest advice I would provide.
Yeah, I mean, I joined Breakeven last year with zero to no experience. It was really fun for me.
Nice.
Yeah. And I do really agree with the vibes you're mentioning all the time. Yeah, it's really vibey of an environment there.
Yeah. I love it. Like, if I didn't like the association as much as I do, I would not be willing to do as much as I do for it. It's really worth it.
Alrighty. Then you mentioned you are working for a startup for more than a year. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so once again, giving the TLDR of the journey. It all started with my honors program, business and entrepreneurship. I chose it based on a coin flip out of the 4 or 5 honors track there are. And from that point, we basically came up with an idea, or everyone tried to come up with an idea there. And I joined another person who came up with the idea of a smart mouth guard. So mouth guard is something you wear on your teeth during contact sports in order to prevent injuries to your teeth and gums.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the idea of, all right, let's put a sensor inside it that will measure basically the acceleration of your upper jaw and in that way of your skull. in order to measure impacts during contact sports. The way the team member came up with the idea was very personal, because he figured out the hard way how important measuring these kinds of impacts is. He was playing rugby, and in one of the matches, he got a very light concussion. Basically, he thought it was just a headache, which is like pretty normal. You do intense physical exercise, right? So the next day, he had another match, and there he received a second impact. And the issue is, with repeated impacts, that your brain swells between them. So, like, you get a slight impact, your brain swells, and then there is less space for it to move and dampen the impacts. So during the second impact, which on its own would be completely harmless, or maybe he would get a mild headache once again, he got basically put out of commission for 3 months, maybe more. I don't remember the exact day, but it was 3 months or more, where he had to be in hospital. He couldn't go to school, and he's basically never allowed to play rugby again. So we're trying to solve that by measuring the very first impact and telling you, yo, you should probably take a rest now. It has been a journey. Like, right now, we've enrolled in Novelty Advanced Program, and there they told us basically immediately, like, yo, join the UT Challenge. So now we're following the workshops from there, which have been really nice. Some of them have been a copy of previous workshops I've already attended. But suddenly, when you have a startup and you attend those workshops again, they become much more useful. Because it's not just information that you like stash away in the business compartment of your brain. It is suddenly a guide on what to do next, which is really, really useful. And it's been, I think, a nice push for our team, which we have definitely been struggling with motivation for the past couple of months, because honors can get really tiring when it's on its own. And when you still have to work on the startup next to following some lectures that you might not really care about all the time, it can become a real hassle. So suddenly having these really actionable workshops was a really nice push for us to go forward and continue with the startup.
Yeah, I do really resonate with your idea that you should go to UT Challenge when you have something kind of physical, you know, maybe not physical, actual, you know, because when I was doing UT Challenge, we just went with an idea, mm-hmm. and we were just starting. And those workshops were actually like, okay, cool. But when I'm going to use the information they're providing to me, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. What was your idea?
Oh, it was actually using satellite imaging and artificial intelligence to measure soil moisture.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So it sounds kind of complicated, but yeah, in reality, it was just an idea, and we didn't do like an actual thing, mm-hmm. Because we were in the ideation stage. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun for us to join too.
No, actually, my team, even though we like pitched to Novelty and have been doing it for quite some time, we've joined Ideation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh yeah, for those who don't know, there are three levels in the UT Challenge. There is Ideation, Prototyping, and Startup, where prototyping, as you might guess, is mainly about creating a prototype and minimum viable product, so a thing that you could actually approach a company with and sell to them basically immediately, mm-hmm. in order to prove that your idea is valuable to people. And we decided against going into prototyping in favor of ideation, which is for basically going in with a very rough idea and trying to cater it to the market that exists out there, which is what we figured out we really needed to do, because we really struggled with figuring out who our target customer would be. Because after all, people will tell you they really want to buy this device, if you just tell them that, like, you're planning to make it, you know, and it's going to be amazing and all that. But judging how far away those statements are from the reality of, all right, here's the device, will you give me 50 euros for it, is really difficult. So currently, we figured out that the more stable way to do it and the more predictable one is to approach companies, for example, sports teams, and to basically try and get a very official looking document that says, like, okay, if you make a device with these kinds of specifications, we would buy it. And that's something that will be probably difficult to obtain, will probably require a lot of going back and forth with the companies. But at the same time, it is as undeniable of a proof that you can get, except for someone actually buying the device, which is difficult to do if you don't have the device yet.
Yeah, but that's a smart approach, I think, to it, like to contact companies, I mean.
Yeah, at first we were kind of scared. Yeah, scared about it, that whole experience, I think, because you get a lot of imposter syndrome when you're doing a thing like this. Like, it is difficult to judge when you're an actual startup or when you're someone who's actually trying to make something a reality versus just, like, messing around. So with regards to that, I think we kind of now decided, okay, yeah, we actually want to do this. And in that way, it's much more of a no-brainer to, like, yeah, let's try the easiest customer segment that actually has the budget for these kinds of things that can actually give us these letters of intent, as they're called, the confirmation that they are going to buy the device, and just try to make it happen. Yeah. It was interesting seeing the differences in approaches between novelty and honors, because as far as business programs go, I would say that honors is really nice and really an applied thing rather than just learning the theory behind business. But still, compared to novelty and its approach, it was still much more theory. So it wasn't exactly learning from textbooks, but it was, for example, a lot about learning from examples and trying to figure out, like, the optimal approaches and when to use different methodologies for business, which is useful. But I think that for our team, at least, just getting that, okay, here is which things you need to balance, like, balance consumer interest, balance how much of the product you actually have built, balance how much market demand there is, balance how visible you are, balance those things. And, like, if one of them is way ahead, just don't focus on it for now. Make progress in some other parts. Good luck. Like, that was more of the approach of novelty, and I think that helped us a lot. Yeah.
And do you think if you were to choose your honors program again, would you choose business entrepreneurship or something else?
I probably would, yeah. Because if I hadn't done the business honors, I wouldn't have had the startup to enroll into UT Challenge. So it was a great start for me to start working on the idea. And even novelty will not really give you help on how to come up with an idea, whereas the honors track actually will. Like, that is the first two modules, is creating an idea and forming a team around it. So that was really helpful. I think that the business honors was still really worth it as the first step. There are just other steps that I still need to take.
All right. And what were the challenges you faced during your studies?
I think I only admitted this to myself pretty recently, but I think that studies are not as high of a priority for me as they are for people who are really focused on them. So I'm doing a lot more stuff, and I'm afraid to even say this, but some of the things I'm doing outside of that are of a higher priority than passing all my exams, for example. Like, don't get me wrong, I still want to finish my studies, that's for sure. But suddenly, now I became much less bothered by not being able to finish them in the 3 years and to finish all the exams on time and everything like that. So I would say that the biggest issue for me during my studies was figuring that out, like figuring out what my priorities are and trying to act accordingly and really not lie to myself during that process. Because, man, like, I'm a student. Of course I'm supposed to study. Like, and of course that should be the number one priority, was what I was telling myself the past year and a half, right? Since the beginning of uni. Suddenly it transformed more into, wow, I'm at this uni that can give such cool opportunities to people. How can I make use of that? And what can I do with those opportunities? Like, how can I take as much from it as I can? And because there is a lot that the uni has to offer. Suddenly, with that mindset, getting a four-year bachelor was a thing that also enables me to use the uni for a year more. Not just the thing that will, like, set me back in life by 1 year, right? Because all of these opportunities, when I did not have time for them, or the appropriate amount of time, let's say I was really not focused on the startup, even though there was a lot of things to do, I wasn't able to get the time to think about those things, get the time to actually work on them afterwards, get the time to finish them. And that was causing me a lot of stress, because you're in a team, like, you really want to pull your weight in it. And managing that stress together with figuring out what the priority is was probably the biggest challenge for me. And I don't think I have figured it out just yet, because I still need to write down a concrete list of what I think the priorities are. But that's been something that I've been putting off for quite a long time.
Then the last question of today, what would be your piece of advice for current students?
I think this goes with everything I've said so far, and mainly with the point of, like, I really want to be at this uni because of the things it provides. But to find those, you really need to look around. You need to talk to people, because they usually know quite a lot about what's happening at the uni. But every one of them knows about different opportunities that are here. So I would really say, don't be afraid to talk to your teachers, your lecturers, about the things that you are doing. They will usually be pretty enthusiastic about them. And if not, you know, who cares? You can just tell the next person about this thing that you're doing. And every once in a while, a nice tidbit of information will come along. For us, that was, oh wow, there is this extra challenge from the UT happening with regards to medical devices. So, we should probably sign up for that. And without having talked to people and without having been trying to look around for what there is at the uni, we wouldn't have found it. So really try to make most of the things that the UT provides for you for free, because there is a lot.
Smart.
Wow. I've been thinking about it for a long time. I had 2 months, you know.
That, I think, is going to be a good moment to finalize the podcast. And thank you, Simon, for joining. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Nice. Thanks for inviting me, Timur. This was awesome.